Of course, now Avril Lavigne is catching more of it because our world is even more politically correct and less forgiving than what Gwen Stefani called.
But isn't Avril Lavigne Canadian?
Yes, she's Canadian.
Constantly apologizing for everything all the time anyway. Like, why would you even... Like, she's already retroactively apologized for whatever it is that anyone
just
thinks
by
she
being
might have done
Canadian.
Just by being Canadian.
Okay, well, then that's a good argument. Everybody should just
I'm sorry,
shut up.
That's not stereotypical at all, Mike.
Ando's racist.
Oh, gee.
Welcome to Nerd Burger. It's a podcast with two guys and another guy and a girl.
And a pizza place.
Ooh. You said pizza?
No.
Oh. I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig.
And here we are. Episode 59.
59.
It's the last time we get to say 50 until 90-something episodes from now.
Episode 150?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Good. Good, good, good.
Well, that's good. I'm good as well.
I'm just trying to think of if I have any little something from my life that I want to share. I don't.
Nothing annoyed you on the way over here?
No. Nothing.
No parades?
No parades. No
no bands playing outside your apartment?
Oh, no marathon runs? No 10K cancer walks? No
stupid cancer walks?
No slow traffic?
Guy, your life is boring, right?
This morning it was. My drive over was uneventful.
Drives usually should be uneventful.
So
that means you got wherever you were
good
going
point.
Alive.
All right. Guest time.
It's Ando.
Woohoo!
Hey, Ando.
Hi, Mike and Craig.
Hello, Ando.
You're not alone.
I am not. I brought my beautiful wife, Katie May, with me, who does
Hi,
not
Katie
have
May.
A microphone.
And she's sitting in the green room.
Looking petrified that we're talking about her.
She can hear us, but we can't hear her.
And I know she's back there behind me watching.
Should we set up a mirror so you can see her?
So I'm going to
We can arrange that.
Glance back every so often to make sure she's not, like, looking bored. Because we have a metric in the studio now that's going to tell us whether or not we suck.
I can let you know.
Oh, good.
So how is everyone?
Well, unlike Craig, I had a kind of an eventful ride over here just because I got stuck in a lot more traffic than Saturday morning really usually actually has.
Parade? Cancer walk?
No, just...
Marching band?
Just slowpokes going like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Tortoise crossing the road?
Exactly.
You need to tell them to wait until tomorrow.
When I have to go to that other place I'm going to get slowed down then too because it's Atlanta and you have to drive everywhere.
Yep. Minimum 25 minutes to get wherever you need to go.
Yep. Want to go down to the corner drugstore? Like we're in the 50s. Go down to the Walgreens.
The five a dime.
Get them malted. I lied. Mike was asking me if I could put the music, or he could bring the sound back up. Nope,
can I do it now?
We're still playing my theme.
Jeez. Okay, good.
Well, what I need to do is I need to trim everybody's themes back to like 40 seconds.
My theme is too awesome.
So that
to
it'll
be
just so that it'll just end.
Yeah.
So
or you can just remember to turn it off. When I ask, is it okay?
Okay.
So
be like that.
Big week.
In news,
we've got a cast. But more specifically,
Star Wars! Nothing but Star Wars!
Oh, wow.
Give me the Star Wars! Don't let them end.
I see you wore an appropriate shirt.
Yes, I did. I wore a Star Wars shirt today.
That's appropriate.
Well, we can talk about what you're wearing. When he
Commando boy.
When he walked in, I opened the door and the first thing I said was, you're wearing something under that, right?
And I am, as if you needed to know that.
Ando's got a kilt on. And
I do.
Some nice, almost knee-high plaid socks.
They're not plaid.
Tartan.
Yeah. They're striped.
Is there a different?
They're not plaid. They're just striped.
In both directions.
That makes them tartan.
Not, yeah, I mean, it's not square.
It's not checked.
So no, Scotland, Ireland, not Czechoslovakia. Fuck yeah. Sorry. Fun with words, everybody. So we have a cast.
Yeah.
That is comprised of six people from the previous movies.
Really, really old people.
And mostly, yeah, and mostly a bunch of people that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
Which is appropriate, I think.
Except for Gollum.
Right, Andy Serkis. But I'm fine with, let's, you know, the original Star Wars, the first three were unknowns. Nobody knew any of those people. And then when they did the prequels, they had to stunt cast everything. Yeah. Bring in Samuel L. Jackson with his purple lightsaber.
I heard he requested that.
Yeah.
Yes, and he made a big whiny fit about it and got it, because he's Sam Jackson.
Dude, purple lightsaber.
And then he went on to play the most un-Sam Jackson-like character he has ever played, because George Lucas can't direct.
Or write.
I think the writing could have been fine if they would have been allowed to act. And everybody gives the same wooden performance in those three movies.
Yeah.
Or if they cast someone other than Hayden Christensen in the second and
wrong,
third.
Wrong. Hayden Christensen is a good actor. Watch a movie called Shattered Glass. Will completely change your mind on Hayden Christensen. George Lucas.
I just mean he was not right for Anakin. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't think he was directed properly either. Natalie Portman is an excellent actress.
That one I can agree
and
with.
And was terrible in the prequels. Anyway,
I can agree
upcoming,
with that too.
Any names besides Andy Serkis that we know? I'm looking at a little list here.
That we know? No.
Yeah.
Not that
Max von Sydow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting about him. He wasn't in the picture.
Calling back to last week, Ming the Merciless. He played Ming the Merciless back in Flash Gordon.
He also played Jesus in the movie.
Did he?
Yes.
Damn near every white guy has played Jesus at some time or another. They keep remaking that.
What was the
comment? They gotta get it right.
He must have played a Nazi at some point with that name.
That's racist.
Was he an apt pupil? Was that him?
Apt pupil.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to look.
He was in Strange Brew. Eh?
God, it's been so long since I've seen that movie. Which was weird because I loved the SCTV Great White North skits, but that movie was kind of disappointing.
No, it was Ian McKellen.
It wasn't disappointing. It was weird.
Well, yeah, weird, but it wasn't as funny as the Great White North skits.
That's disappointed.
Those things worked in 5-minute intervals, exactly. Not 90-minute intervals.
I think like one of the best ones was when one dude was asleep, and so the other one was going to try and put his finger down in his warm beer to make him pee his pants. Trying to stick his finger down in the bottles.
Nice miming,
yeah.
By the way.
It's not a vlog.
The mime you're making for the listeners, the mime that Ando's making is a lot like the mime that 5-year-old, like, well, not five, I should say, like seventh graders use to describe the sexual act in mime. No, it was not. Apt Pupil was a Stephen King story. It was made into a movie, and it has to do with a Nazi. But that was not him. That was Ian McKellen.
Gandalf was a Nazi?
Yes. He's played a lot of things. And speaking of Ian McKellen, I have a little sound blurb thing for us about that later.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
But what else for news? Anything else worth mentioning for Star Wars?
No.
Woohoo, there's a cast. Yeah. They're going to film.
Oh, look.
We'll see what happens.
Those old people are coming back like we knew they would, but now it's official because there's a photograph.
Kenny Baker's going to climb back into his trash can.
Peter May is going to put on that dirty rug.
What are they going to do when the three of them, you know, retire? I don't want to say die, but retire. You know, they're too old to play C-3PO, R2-D2, and Chewbacca anymore.
Well, anybody can make the Chewbacca noise, and any tall person can be in that suit. Same thing with the R2-D2. Any little person can be crammed into that trash can.
They could have been remote controlling that thing years ago.
It could be robotic. But any skinny person can sit into C-3PO, and then Anthony Daniels, provided he's still alive, but just not capable of walking around inside the suit, can do the voice.
And then you just have to find somebody who can do Anthony Daniels' voice if he were to pass away.
Right.
Well, I didn't mean for that to get all serious and morbid. It was just a joke, guys.
Now, the other three were kind of screwed.
Yeah. Until we can start cloning.
Harrison Ford has a son, I think.
Does he look just like a young Harrison Ford?
No, he probably looks like Calista Flockhart.
Oh.
Turn him sideways and he disappears. Sorry. She's very thin. She's a slight person.
Yeah.
Slight of build person. Mm-hmm. Did you hear the little more news? Going back to something that you and I bonded over a bit back way back when we first met.
Lost?
Project Greenlight is getting revived.
Yeah.
On HBO.
Oh, it is. The actual show.
The actual show.
Okay. I thought they were just, somebody was doing something Project Greenlight-like.
There's something else that's going on that's Project Greenlight-like, but this is actual Project Greenlight. And are you familiar with that? It was a show. It was on HBO for 2 years, and then it was on like some other network for a year. And it was produced by Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, and this all came right after they did Good Will Hunting, where they supposed, you know, they got their start. Mm-hmm. They wrote that screenplay and acted in it, and they became big. Where they would have, basically, it was a screenplay contest, and you know, you enter the screenplay contest, and if you won, you got to come in and direct your movie, mm-hmm. and they would give you, you know, like who was it? What company it was, what studio it was.
That, no,
I'm blanking. It's been a while. But, you know, there was a studio affiliated with it, and they would fund it for, you know, they give you a couple million dollars or whatever, and they cast it. And they did 3 years of the show. Hmm. The first year, the guy wrote and directed. The second year, they started doing a writer's contest and a director's contest. Hmm. And then those people got pulled together. And the third year is where that's really bonded.
Now,
that was the Feast, yeah. The movie Feast, which is a ridiculous horror movie.
With the two writers that went on to do the last three or four Saw movies.
Yeah.
And then
the whole Feast trilogy, two of which were straight to DVD. Yeah.
And the director, who was that weird guy.
John Gulager. He was a character, man.
Didn't his dad died recently, didn't he?
Oh, really? Clue?
Didn't he?
Clue Gulager died? I don't know.
Look it up. Within the last year? How did you... CLU?
Yes. Have you seen Return of the Living Dead? The campy maybe, one from 1985?
Possibly. That sounds right. I feel like I have seen that one.
He was... Clue Gulager. He's been in a bunch of B-movies and a few other bigger name movies and everything, but he was... I can't think of the character's name, but he was like... In Return of the Living Dead, there's the old guy and the young guy working in the medical
ouch. Warehouse. Sorry, Clue.
He's still around. Oops.
Not sure who I was thinking of. Wasn't
he played like their boss who shows up kind of in the middle of like the, and there's this wacky zombie outbreak. And
yeah, I have seen that one.
He's kind of over the top. Well, everything in that movie is over the top. But
see, when you said Clue Gulager, all I was thinking of is in the MST3K movie, The Touch of Satan, during the opening credits, which are painfully long. Mike,
Touch of Satan.
Mike puts Crow on Clue Gulager alert to keep look out for him.
Yeah.
Although when you Google his name, the fourth entry is Clue Gulager death.
Oh, speaking of...
But he's apparently alive.
Keeping on alert for fixes. Keeping on alert for actors, I'm going to do a real quick Abe Vigoda check.
That was great.
There's a website out there. It's called abevigoda.com. It does one thing, and it does it really well. It lets you know whether or not Abe Vigoda is dead. Currently, Abe Vigoda is alive.
Yay!
And there was as of Saturday, May 3rd, 2014, at 7:22 and 26 seconds Pacific time.
And the crowd goes wild.
So, good job, Abe. Stay alive.
Sharknado 3 has been greenlit. Speaking of greenlighting.
Are you serious?
And Sharknado 2 hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah, before the second one.
Wow. So does that mean we have two more Sharknado dedicated episodes of this podcast to record?
I don't know. Doing one of those a year. You really want to drop one of our treasured 52 episodes per year into
year? We could do, for Sharknado 2, we'll do like an extended segment. And then for Sharknado 3, we'll just mention that we watched it.
I haven't even seen the first one yet.
You want to know all about it? You can just go back and listen to one whole episode of this podcast where that's practically all we talk about.
It would be the episode titled Snarknado.
Okay. That makes sense in a snarky sort of way.
So there's that.
Woohoo! That's a thing.
Tech news?
Sure.
You know what's happening today? Last week we had something happening while we were recording. Oh, by the way, they found them. E.T. Atari game.
Oh, yeah. Call back to a previous episode. Yeah.
I actually have one of those. A cartridge. Ooh. An E.T. cartridge.
Cool.
I'm serious.
How much is that worth?
I have no idea. I'm like 5 cents, maybe. I don't know.
I think all the ones they found were crushed or damaged in some way. But they found them right where they were supposed to be. Urban.
Well,
urban
well if
legend.
Anyone wants to make me an offer for an exorbitant amount of money for my ET Atari cartridge, my email address is ando@andocon.org.
There you go.
Still don't have ando.con as an email address yet.
You know, I don't think that that is a domain put out by ICANN. I don't think that that actually exists, does it? .con? I will investigate. You guys talk.
Maybe some country somewhere.
I will investigate. You guys keep talking about
the .con.
That andocon.con conversation went on so long last time that I actually typed in andocon.com.
Which is not
in the show notes. Yeah, I know. I was corrected and it got changed right
Yes,
away,
if you would like to sell your ET cartridge on eBay, you could get up to $7.
Ooh. Wow.
Quit my day job.
Maybe 9 if you offer up a buy it now option for the person who really wants that game that reenacts things that are nothing like the movie.
Yeah.
I actually won the game. I beat it. I had it. I beat it many times.
Yeah.
But it was nothing like the movie. It had a little dude with a neck that grew. That's basically it.
I think I remember seeing
and he
it.
Could fly.
I don't know that we owned it or not.
But he could only fly when he was in pits. You couldn't fly him around the rest of the world.
In pits?
He would fall into pits.
Which
okay.
is the most
and that's
annoying
where the
part.
The telephone pieces were, and you had to put the telephone together and call your spaceship.
And that was the most annoying part because the edge detection of those pits was atrocious. So
yeah,
you could just
fall into a pit. Then you press your button, your one button
yeah.
that you had on your joystick,
that orange button,
to float back up out of the pit, and then it would flash back to the regular screen where you're standing in the pit, and then you let go to try to walk, and boom, you'd fall back in the pit again.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you could fall in the pit like 8 times before you finally got out.
So that's one of the reasons why they buried it.
Yeah,
I don't see a .con, but New Zealand's is .co.nz, so I could be Andocons.
.cons.
Cons with a Z.
Andocons.
To make it crazy.
Well, then you'd have to put on more than one in a year.
I would not be opposed to that.
All right, so happening today.
Mm-hmm.
Google Glass haters beware. Glass wearers are planning meetups in a series of Glass Night Out events across the country today.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there'll be photos?
There won't be selfies, though.
That's a trick question.
Yeah. The Glass community is coordinating the events, which Google promoted in a Google Plus post on Thursday. Google is hoping its Explorer faithful will, quote, help dispel glass myths to all. So you're supposed to take your device that you shelled out $1,500 for and that everyone hates when you wear it and go out in public and try to convince those people who hate you why they shouldn't.
That just sounds like a pain in the glass to me.
Oh.
I'm sorry. That was low-hanging fruit. I'm horrible. The look of disapproval on
now,
Google's
the
face.
The list of cities that they're using, interesting.
F*** you.
Thanks. One less for me to do later.
Yes, I bleeped that right off of my soundboard.
Thank you. Okay, so
I had to check with Katie to make sure she wasn't angry that I just told her husband to take a flying F. She's now, shaking her head. No, it's fine. I do it all the time.
Now, where would you think they were going to have these glass meetups? New York, L.A.,
right, some big city,
right? Boston,
Seattle,
Washington, D.C., Palo Alto, which is basically
some
San Francisco,
Portland, some tech savvy, tech loving.
No, Orlando.
Sure.
Okay. Milwaukee. Not Chicago, Milwaukee.
Okay.
And Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, absolutely, Madison. All those hippies.
but New York, L.A.,
right.
D.C., Boston, Madison.
Boston. I guess. If they need someplace in the Midwest.
When they've got one, you know, an hour away in Milwaukee.
Yeah, but Madison people, and you don't necessarily know this, but...
Nope.
Milwaukee is, or Wisconsin is... you know, it's a lot of rural. There's a lot of small towns and country. Mm-hmm. And then there's Milwaukee and there's Madison.
And Green Bay.
And Green Bay, sort of. But Green Bay's pretty small.
Not for Wisconsin. Not, well,
for the rest of the country, Green Bay's tiny.
Hey, you forgot Eau Claire and Rhinelander.
And so the...
And Wausau. Madison. And La Crosse.
And Prairie du Chien. And Chippewa Falls.
Where Jack from Titanic swam in Lake Wissota. Which didn't exist. in 1914
at the time because it's a man-made lake.
Yeah.
Oh, dork.
History lesson.
Giant
nerd.
Yes. But Madison is just, it might as well be a walled city of uber lefty Democrats. It's really liberal. So I imagine they probably are a little afraid to venture out into the wilderness around their city. So maybe they don't want to travel to Milwaukee.
But they're having one in Milwaukee.
They might get accosted by people who love Jesus and want family values and
all the Republicans that live in between Madison and Milwaukee.
And love big business and, you know, all the things that Republicans love that no Democrat does.
Right.
You know, that stuff.
Because people, ooh, politics, people are completely polarized and you're either firmly in one camp or
you're
the other.
You're firmly on the far, far left or firmly in between. On the far, far right.
So
you can't share beliefs with either.
Wisconsin's a purple state. That's referring to something else then? Like grape juice? They like to drink a lot of grape juice and spill it on the ground?
I don't know.
Purple flowers?
I don't know. The violet's the state flower.
Yeah. Hey, well, there you go. That's purple.
Thank you, third grade education.
Ding, 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 ding. We have a bell now.
What's the state insect?
What?
What's the state insect? At least 20 years, you know, 30 years ago, what was the state insect?
The six-legged badger?
No.
We don't need no stinking badgers.
Honeybee.
Oh, okay.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah. Anyway.
How could you?
Nerdburger Podcast Theater.
Yeah, but that's funny that you said that because the title of this article is A Swarm of Google Glass Users Will Descend.
Oh, there's got to be a better collective name than swarm. Come on, let's brainstorm right now. What's a group of Google Glass wearers called?
A Googleplex?
No. Come on, it's got to be something rude.
Oh, glass holes.
Nah, that's what you call an individual one. What's the collective name? Like a murder of crows or a business of ferrets?
Oh, a whole
or a parliament of owls.
A whole of glass explorers. An anus. An anus of glass explorers.
An irritation.
There you go.
An exacerbation. There's your vocabulary for the day.
I'm here in Madison, Wisconsin, in the midst of an irritation of Google glasswares. I like that. That works well for the news stories.
Yeah.
So are you going to go get a Google Glass?
No, but I find it helpful that they're not having one in Atlanta. We'd have to drive to Orlando or DC or something. That's not going to happen.
No.
But were they, if you do live in a city where they are, I would appreciate the fact that they were going out in public and identifying themselves as people I could punch in the face and cost $1,500.
Or on the upside, you're getting them all in one place. So if you want to just take care of the problem. They're all in one place.
Wow, inappropriate. NSA, what was the last last time I was here, we were talking about the NSA. And
I think we talk about them every week.
Something like that.
NSA?
Agent Smith, are you there?
I should put tape over the webcam.
Agent Hendrix.
So, moving along.
Okay.
Did you hear about Comixology?
I've heard the name, yes.
It's an app that Amazon bought.
Oh, yeah.
And then they stripped out all the functionality
of
the app so that Apple and Google could not make any money off of in-app purchases. So what it was it's this app for people to find and explore comics, mm-hmm. digital comics, because people don't go to comic book stores. You know, everybody wants to sit there on their couch and
just download their comics
on their devices. So you have this great app, and apparently, I'm not a comic book person, but comic book people really, really liked this app, and they thought it was a really great thing because you could explore and find out about comics, and then right away you go, hey, that's one I want to read, and you could just buy it.
Wow.
Well, now you can't.
Instant
now you
gratification.
Have to. You get sucked out
Why
of the
not?
App and sent to the website.
Why not?
Because
why did they do that?
Because Amazon doesn't want to.
Why did they do that, Mike? That's moving backwards.
Yes.
That's like going from talking on the phone to texting individual letters to each other. Like Morse code.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah. Clever. Clever, right? And I just facepalmed.
No, so you have to...
Right, so it
Apple or
rings
Google
you around
gets a cut of any in-app purchases, and so Amazon doesn't want to pay that percentage, which is this article, you know, points out that it's hypocritical of them and blah, blah, blah. And this guy goes on this big rant, but basically he's all pissed off at Amazon for doing this. Well, of course, Amazon's going to do that. You know who you should be pissed off at? The people who used to own Comixology. They're the ones that screwed you.
Yeah.
By selling. They sold out to big Amazon. Be mad at them.
Big Amazon.
Big online retailer.
Yeah, big.
It's a big A.
Well, like big oil.
Yeah, no, I
big automobile.
I got the joke.
Okay. You know what?
Hmm?
We have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because the people who sold that, that's their right. They owned the property,
right,
and they built it up and they made it into something cool. Somebody else wanted it. They bought it.
They probably got a lot
of
money.
They got
out
money
of
for it.
So you're saying they that
that's,
the people who,
I guess that's good.
The people who are mad about what happened don't have anyone to be mad at?
Kinda.
Of course, themselves for becoming dependent.
Right. But at the same time, I was, you know, kind of being mad about it before. But then again, I'm an enormous hypocrite. So,
well, at least you're honest.
Most of the time. I reserve some of my time for not being honest.
I can't possibly keep track of all of the false stances I've taken on various subjects. So, of course, I will admit to being a hypocrite. Yes.
Oh, by
default.
I'm going to be a hypocrite when my topic comes around.
In 58 episodes, I've lied openly, huge, big, fat lies at least once every episode, I guarantee you, just for the sake of a joke or to counterpoint something someone else is saying.
Yeah. Okay, I have one more.
To be honest, I'm sure people who know me listen to this and they go, okay, that sounds like Craig. But other people are like, I don't know what to believe about this guy anymore.
And
like, I don't feel that I know him at all.
And the irony of you saying, to be honest, when you said that.
Yeah, I could be lying.
Go ahead. I have one more. And
okay.
you may have seen this.
Mm-hmm.
So don't spoil, since we have an audience.
Don't jump the route.
Yeah, there you go.
As it were. Okay.
I'm going to read a letter to an advice column. Ring any bells yet?
An advice column.
Advice column in the Winnipeg Free Press. Oh, this is going to be news to you.
Up there in Winnipeg, eh? Okay, then.
Don't you know?
Yes. Dear Miss Lonely Hearts, I've been happily married to my husband for 15 years. This is actually printed in the Winnipeg Free Press.
Okay.
From Thursday.
What kind of sound effect should I cue up? A boo, a dramatic flourish, a rim shot?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll just go with what I go with.
Dear Miss Lonely Hearts, I've been happily married to my husband for 15 years. However, he was recently diagnosed with inoperable lung cancer. Ever since his diagnosis, he's become a completely different person. He sometimes comes home in the middle of the night with no explanation of where he was. I found out he started smoking marijuana. I also have a pretty good suspicion he has a second cell phone, though he denies it. I desperately need help. I'm currently pregnant to go along with a moody son, a husband with lung cancer, and an overdrawn checking account. Stressed and confused, Winnipeg. Dear Stressed, you have to get tough now. Your husband knows he's going to die, and it won't be long, so he's doing whatever he pleases. He may not be thinking of you, his child, and the baby anymore. Or when he does, it makes him depressed and panicky. Now, this is the actual response from Miss Lonely Hearts. Drugs and women are big distractions from those feelings. Second cell phones make contacting another woman or a drug dealer much easier. Why, yes, Miss Lonely Hearts, it certainly does. I was hoping you would get that sound effect ready.
Oh, I had to go find it.
Yeah, somebody totally pwned Miss Lonely Hearts and wrote in as Skylar White from seasons 1 and 2.
Although, to be honest, that letter sounded very reasonable, so it wasn't quite Skylar.
Oh, yeah.
Must have been one of her lucid moments when she wasn't, like, just flipping out over something, because she was worked up an awful lot on that show. Admittedly, she had reason to be.
Yeah.
But she wasn't calm very often.
She wasn't busy banging Ted Beneke. Although was that season 3?
Well, thank you for all the spoilers for those of us who've only seen season 1 of that show.
That's no major spoiler. You want spoilers? We'll give you spoilers.
No, no, we don't want spoilers. Okay. Thank you.
But that's funny. Do we want to watch a little video? It's
sure.
got great audio, so the listeners will enjoy it as well. And we can link to it so people can go watch it, too, because the guy's face is awesome.
Oh, my God, look at that. Magically, the cord from my phone is now plugged into the computer over there.
Imagine that.
The magic of radio.
That could have been seamless production.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you had to ruin it, Mike.
What do you think it would sound like if Sir Ian McKellen did the theme to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Like the Songs of Angels.
Hit play.
West Philadelphia, I was born and raised. The playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing all cool. Shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fright, and my mom got scared, and she said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle to Bel Air. Well, I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plate said Fresh, and there was dice in the mirror. If anything, I can say that this cab was rare. I thought, nah, forget it. Your home's in Bel Air. I pulled up around 7, was it 8? I yelled to the cabbie, your home, spare you later. And I looked in my kingdom. I was finally there. I sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air.
Who is this guy?
I don't know, some dude that does a great Ian McKellen and he reads different stuff. You can find him all over YouTube if you look him up.
Hunter
him
Davis.
Up.
Wow.
I love that he got forgetful. Was it 7 or 8 or something? And that he didn't like shorten words. He actually enunciated everything. It was mirror.
Yeah.
So it didn't rhyme anymore. Oh, Reddit's fun. Any more fun over there? Anything silly?
Yeah. Ever wonder which are the nerdiest states in America?
Okay, is it going to be a pop quiz thing again?
Well, no, there's just a map.
Okay.
I saw links to that on Facebook, but I haven't actually looked at it yet, so this is going to be new to me.
They rate them, on the map, they call it Nerd Heaven. On the chart, they call it Nerd Paradise. But those are the best states for nerds.
I'm surprised they didn't go with Nerdvana. I mean,
yeah. Then there's just nerd friendly, which is kind of leaning nerd. And then there's few nerds, which is leaning not nerd. And then there's nerd hell, which is where you don't want to live. Can you guess which state or which category Georgia is in?
Should it be partly nerdy?
Yeah.
Calling back to last week.
Yeah, sure. A mix of nerds and
non-nerds.
A mix of nerds and clouds. I noticed the Weather Channel app does that. It doesn't say partly cloudy or partly sunny. It says a mix of sun and clouds.
Sure.
Kirk Mellish, man. He's taken over.
Because enough people complained.
Yeah.
Partly sunny. It wasn't partly sunny. Man.
What's funny is the default weather app for Mac devices, so iPhones and MacBooks and stuff like that. If you have a day that's going to be mostly sunny but has a chance of rain, they don't have a cloud in the icon. It's just sun with drops hanging off of it. And the first time that I saw that, I showed Katie Mae, look, on Wednesday, the sun is melting.
Sun must have been doing some physical labor, working real hard, worked up a sweat.
Yeah. The 5-day forecast is all sun all the time.
Oh.
Okay, so we're nerdy states. What's Georgia?
Do you want to guess? And this is not a quiz, so okay. You can't be wrong.
I'll say it's slightly nerdy.
You're wrong!
Jesus!
I just thought it was funny. You said you can't be wrong. I thought I'd jump in and say you're wrong.
No, it's nerd hell. We're in nerd hell right now. The entire Southeast, from Virginia to Louisiana and down to Florida, is nerd hell, with the exception of Tennessee.
Why?
I don't know. That's just
where does the rating come from?
Okay. Something called Estately searched Facebook to discover who listed 12 nerdy subjects, including Star Wars, Star Trek, Harry Potter, and the like, in their favorites section. It's all based on people's likes on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And where they live. Let's see. Star Trek The Next Generation, cosplay, Harry Potter, Star Wars, anime movies, Dungeons & Dragons, LARPing, parentheses live action role playing, thank you. Doctor Who, fantasy, lit, Lord of the Rings, Magic the Gathering, comic books, and an average.
I suspect that this may not be the most scientific.
Completely scientific, no.
Maybe.
But it makes people, for good nerd news.
Maybe people in the South, like who live in the South like me,
are nerds and
don't
like
care
Facebook.
To press the like button.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone.
I like a lot of things. I never sit there and dink around with like buttons. Upvoting this, downvoting that.
So it's US nerd rankings by state based on Facebook usage.
Man, people like invite me to like their pages all the time, and I'm like, look, I personally like you, but I don't really want to do that on Facebook. I mean, my AndoCon likes things on Facebook, but Ando doesn't really. Ando likes AndoCon.
We've had the opportunity for people to like the Nerd Burger Show on Facebook has been there along.
17. We have 17 likes.
Yeah. And those are individual, right?
Yeah.
So is it fair to say that have you hit the like button?
I don't know.
I didn't.
I don't think I did.
So we can assume that's 17 listeners.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's our listener count.
Well, one of them might be AndoCon.
Okay. Do you want to care to guess the nerdiest state?
Based on that criteria?
California.
I was going to say Washington.
California is in the leaning not nerd category. Partly not nerdy.
I was going to guess Washington State.
Oh, number 6.
Aha.
Very good. No, the nerdiest is
That's not surprising since the RPG, half the RPG.
Exactly. That's why I was
Washington
guessing.
State.
Number 1 is Utah. Those Mormons.
Nothing else to do out there.
That's right. Nerdy Mormons. Least nerdy.
Texas.
I'll give you a hint. This list goes to 51.
Oh, Washington, D.C.
Ding, 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 ding. Keep forgetting that that's there.
That's okay.
That's okay. You want me to forget that it's there?
Just now, now and then you can forget it.
Okay. Of the actual states, the ones that count, Mississippi is the least nerdy. Georgia's 48th.
Which is kind of funny because the only time I've been in Mississippi recently, we were passing through and we went to a Fred's, and you can actually, some Fred's have magic cards, just a bunch of magic cards in a little clamshell case. And in Georgia, like they stopped doing that in the Fred's around Georgia. But in Mississippi, you know, we dropped like $70 on magic cards there. I mean, maybe not be nerdy, but there are some little pockets of nerddom.
Mm-hmm. What's a Fred's?
Okay, it's kind of like a Big Lots, sort of, I guess. How would you describe that, Katie Mae? Yeah, so Big Lots.
Big Lots.
Big
Lots. Wisconsin was number 14, by the way.
Okay, that's
but,
cool.
But Minnesota was number 36.
They're too busy ice fishing. And ice fishing.
Yeah.
Because that's all they do, right?
In Minnesota?
In Minnesota there.
Yeah.
Well, that and look at the twine ball.
And their weird worship of large lumberjacks and
their gigantic
blue oxes. Oxen. Oxes?
Or maybe they're all spending their time traveling across southern Minnesota, which is a wasteland.
Yeah. Because you drove through it.
Yes.
May as well be Iowa.
Yeah. It's indistinguishable.
How'd they draw the border?
I don't know.
Who cares?
Yeah, just pick a line. Yeah, so there you go.
I forget which cartoon it was now, but there was some cartoon that basically posited a theory that Wyoming doesn't actually exist. Because no one is from Wyoming. Like, you never meet anyone from Wyoming. It doesn't exist.
Unless you want to go through a list of conspiracy theories. You want to do that? It's funny, there's one in here that I never even heard of before.
Okay.
We'll just cover that one.
Sure.
Did you know that there are people who believe that Paul,
yes, I knew that. There are people that believe anything. Go ahead, sorry.
That Paul McCartney is dead, and that the guy who we think is Paul McCartney is just a lookalike / soundalike that the Beatles hired to replace him.
I mean, please tell me that you're just being satirical about not knowing that before.
No, I did. I honestly had Seriously? Never heard of the Paul is dead conspiracy.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that's what I get for growing up in a household with a lot of Beatles music, because I knew about that.
My mom was 14 when they came to the States. I mean, she was a huge Beatle maniac.
I don't know.
I grew up with Beatles in the house, too, and I still have never heard of this one.
Yeah, all of the supposed evidence, like Paul being barefoot on the cover of Abbey Road, and the I buried Paul at the end of I'm the Walrus, and...
No, it's at the end of Strawberry Fields
Forever. Sorry. Yeah. Well, I'm the Walrus was another one that was like that.
Although
John Lennon was Paul. Yeah.
John Lennon says that phrase is actually cranberry sauce.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Yeah.
When I'm listening to that in the car, I say I buried Paul just because it's funny.
It was Garfield who said Wyoming wasn't. Isn't,
that's who I thought it was.
Doesn't exist.
I just have
a clip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remind you of our motto, if they say it on television, it must be true. Here's our first incredible revelation. There's no such place as Wyoming. Think about it. Have you ever met anyone from Wyoming? Well, there you are. The myth of Wyoming began in the year 1789, when the great explorer and mapmaker Arbuckle Vespucci was designing the United States.
Let's see. I'll put the Oklahoma here. Then I'll put the North Dakota here. No. Maybe that should have been nearer South Dakota. See? That's a good.
He had some help from his faithful and handsome cat. You dropped a visa.
Oh, no.
Alaska and Hawaii. They're off the map.
Hey, and no sweater. You just put Alaska up here or someplace and stick this Hawaii out here someplace.
Someplace.
Bellissimo. I have a design of the entire United States and... Oh, look. I left a teensy tiny little square empty out here. And I'm all out of the states.
Hmm. No more states, huh? How about another Carolina? No. I know. And so the cat wrote in Wyoming, an old Italian word meaning no state here.
Wow. Must be true.
No Wyoming. And remember,
if they said it on television, it must be true.
See, I used to watch that show all the time when I was a kid, and I didn't want to come off like a jerk saying it was.
Whoops.
Didn't want to come off like a jerk again. saying it was Garfield and have it not be that. But yeah, I thought it was Garfield.
Well done. Ridiculous.
So there you have it, everyone. Wyoming doesn't exist.
Also on this list, JFK assassination, 9/11 cover up, Area 51, and the aliens, not just any aliens.
Okay.
Paul is dead. We covered that. Secret societies that control the world. The moon landings were faked. Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Holocaust revisionism. The CIA caused AIDS. And
whoa,
my
the
favorite.
CIA caused AIDS.
Hang on. The reptilian elite.
What?
Which could also be under Area 51 and the aliens and secret societies control the world, I guess. Yeah, Bill.
You heard it here on Nerdburger.
So it must be true.
Hey,
we should pull that snippet out of that. Yeah. It must be true. Must
we
be
should. True.
I'll get right on that.
Hey, a gray, a reptilian, and a Nordic walk into a bar. Episode title.
Yep.
They are among us, blood-drinking, flesh-eating, shape-shifting, extraterrestrial reptilian humanoids with only one objective in their cold-blooded little heads. to enslave the human race. They are our leaders, our corporate executives, our beloved Oscar-winning actors and Grammy-winning singers, and they're responsible for the Holocaust, the Oklahoma City bombings, and the 9/11 attacks, at least according to former BBC sports reporter David Icke, who became the poster human for the theory in 1998 after publishing his first book, The Biggest Secret, which contained interviews with two Brits who claimed members of the royal family are nothing more than reptiles with crowns. The conspiracy theorist and New Age philosopher who wore only turquoise for a time and insisted on being called Son of Godhead says these Anunnaki, the reptiles, have controlled humankind since ancient times. They count among their number Queen Elizabeth, George W. Bush, Henry Kissinger, Bill and Hillary Clinton, and Bob Hope.
Bob Hope. Yeah, it's something right there. You want to know my favorite conspiracy theory?
Sure, go ahead.
It's a well-known fact, Sonny Jim, that there's a secret society of the five wealthiest people in the world known as the Pentaverate, who run everything in the world, including the newspapers, and meet tri-annually at a secret country mansion in Colorado known as the Meadows.
So who's in this Pentaverate?
The Queen, the Vatican, the Gettys, the Rothschilds, and Colonel Sanders before he went tits up. I hated the Colonel with his wee beady eyes and that smug look on his face. Oh, you're gonna buy my chicken. Oh.
Dad, how can you hate the Colonel?
Because he puts an addictive chemical in his chicken that makes you crave it fortnightly, smart ass.
Interesting. Cuckoo.
Well, what is this? I don't even.
Oh my God! So I married an axe murderer.
Said the guy wearing the kilt.
Yeah,
it's a utility kilt. It's black. It's not tartan.
It's kilt. It's a movie called "So I Married an Axe Murderer."
I've heard of that.
Oh
movie
my God!
Before,
it
never
is an underrated early Mike Myers film.
You need to see this.
He
movie.
Plays his own character, the main character of the movie, and he also plays his own father, and that was his dad, who just riffs like crazy. Yeah. It's where you know like. All the crazy multiple character stuff we got with Austin Powers, this is where it began. I'm sure he riffed all of that old, all of the dad stuff. Because in this scene, as a matter of fact, the best friend is sitting next to him there and like starts, this close to breaking, completely breaking down. Because I'm sure that was all improv'd.
Oh, yeah. Heed, paper,
we've
now.
Done this before.
Like Sputnik.
Look in that gargantuan cranium about with you. Oh, that was a bit aside. He'll be crying himself to sleep tonight on his huge pillow. Okay. We've amused ourselves enough with that.
Go see that movie if you have not. Everyone.
Ando?
Craig?
What's coming up in the middle of June?
June, mid-June. Oh, yeah. My convention, AndoCon.
Yeah.
June 13th.
I'll be there.
June 13th through 15th, Friday through Sunday. Austin.
Sweet.
Gaming convention. We'll have panels, events, guests, one of which is sitting in the same room as me. In fact, two of which are sitting in the same room as me.
Ooh.
Who's that?
That's you.
Oh.
He's looking behind himself. Yes, the shelving unit is going to be there.
It's a great shelving unit.
Would you like, Mike, would you like to tell everybody why we're both going to be at the convention this year?
You and I. You and me.
The two of us together.
You and I.
Yes.
I think about that. Didn't want the grammar police.
Use your words.
After me. Yes, we're going to be there recording
an episode
of Nerdburger.
Of this podcast. 2 hour long.
Special
in front of an audience.
Is it going to actually be 2 hours long or is it going to be two episodes?
We'll see what happens.
Okay. To be determined.
And we'll talk to each other and Ando and other people who are at the convention.
That's right.
And we'll talk about the convention stuff and other geeky stuff that those people are into.
Are there going to be any special things? Special events happening?
We're
going to
raffle something
on
off
the air. Raffle?
We're going to have a raffle.
Ooh.
I talked to Joey Vigor, who designed Chaosmos, who was on our podcast back in January.
Yes, I remember Joey.
And their game is just about ready to go to print. He has sponsored the podcast.
Wow.
Nice.
This one episode, anyway. And they're going to send us a game to give away, to raffle off to somebody
cool.
who's there listening to the podcast.
Wow. Are we allowed to buy tickets?
No, and it's not going to be buying tickets. It's going to everybody's going to have the same chance. I already know how we're going to do it. We're going to roll dice.
Oh, okay, that, we're not going to. Yeah, that makes so we don't sense, have to yeah. go buy a roll of Ravel
nope.
tickets.
We're going to count off those, how many people we have in the room, and we're going to roll percentile dice or whatever it takes.
Okay.
Nice.
Very cool.
They'll get a certificate stating that they'll get the game delivered to them. Okay. Because the game's not going to be done quite in time for AndoCon.
Okay.
But think about that, people. You're going to
build. They'll get an IOU.
Well, it'll be like a surprise. Yeah. They'll get home one day a couple weeks later, and they'll
be a mystery package.
I'm really beat. Man, I wish I had something fun to do tonight. Oh,
what's
look.
This?
There's a board game being delivered to me free of charge.
Dong. Dong. Doorbell.
Okay.
The UPS guy.
And all sorts of other fun AndoCon stuff as well.
Indeed. A couple of the guests, as I've mentioned before, but I'll reiterate, our three sort of guests of honor are Sean Patrick Fannin, who is the creator of the Shyantar setting that's in Savage Worlds, which is epic high fantasy. I got a chance to play that at Secrets Con. It was a lot of fun.
I saw he had a huge table of people. He kept just bringing people in. It's like, pretty soon the whole convention's going to be in here.
That's fine with him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Then Eddie Webb, who did the 20th anniversary version of Vampire the Masquerade, which is an old World of Darkness setting. And we also have Kevin Lansing, the creator of the Flashpoint board game. So they're going to be the special guests of honor, as well as a number of local featured game designers, one of which is in this room. I keep saying that.
Mike looks behind himself.
It's not the...
Yes, shelving unit will be guest starring it. I will be there running playtests.
Oh, it's you. Oh, okay. I'm like, Katie May?
Well, Katie will be there too.
Yes.
What, Katie, what do you do at the con? When we're making her walk over to the microphone.
Ando is the face of AndoCon, and I make sure everything actually happens.
Okay,
so
there
the,
we go.
You're the brain of AndoCon? Okay.
The brains and the brawn.
I know how
gets
that
the
works.
Gets the work done.
And the beauty.
I'm married. Allison, the brains of Nerdburger.
Really?
Well, you can be the brains of Nerdburger. But we're not getting married.
No. We're kind of married already.
I am uncomfortable.
That's a Scrubs joke.
Oh, is it?
I actually saw that episode this morning.
I love that show.
I got us something.
Oh, okay.
For taking our show on the road.
Oh, for AndoCon, for use at AndoCon.
Oh,
it's a bag.
It's a mixer gator, bag.
Gator case.
Gator case. Oh, hey,
it's for this.
For hauling the mixer around. Nice.
I think that we were less impressed than he was hoping we would be.
No, I just I put Mike in charge a few weeks. I was like, you got to figure out how you're going to haul that down there, because I'm going to be at the convention the whole time. He's going to bring the equipment down.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think we need to worry about cords being protected in a bag. I can just throw those in anything. But
just wrap those.
I figured
around your
neck. I should get something designed to carry this thing around.
Expensive electronics.
Well,
dozens of dollars electronics.
Yeah.
All right, so come to the convention, everybody.
Please do. It'll be awesome.
June
tickets are available on
the
entire webs.
Yeah, June 13th through 15th. You can register at andocon.org. And we also have, I would like to point out also, we have a special deal with the hotel that we're at, which is the Atlanta Marriott Perimeter Center. You can get a room there for $89 a night, which is a pretty good discount for them. And they are extending that three nights in both directions of the con. So,
ooh.
Early and late, no matter what you want to do. So you should get a room so you can stay up as late as you want to and then not have to worry about driving home sleepy or, you know.
Hey, Ando, who bought the very first ticket for AndoCon this year? It's a trick question.
Katie May?
Actually, to be honest, Dave Lupo did.
Lies. Then you lied to me. Lies. Lies.
Dave did, because of the contest. He bought the for the contest winner. The contest he had a contest several months ago, and the winner got a free pass to AndoCon, and so he that was it. But as far as the first as far as the non-contest winner who got the first one, it was you, Craig. Dubious.
Thank you. All right. Ando.
Craig.
You like particular types of music, and even mentioned in an email earlier this week about something that intrigued me. So we're going to let you run with this.
Intrigued you.
Yes. Well, just the way you phrased it.
I threw the curveball just last night.
So. No. You want to defend dance and techno music.
I believe the curveball was technically this morning.
It was. It was like 1:30.
2:30 or something.
Well, I was going to say 1:30. I think it was closer to 2, but yeah. Well, I don't know why that's more interesting than the particular song that I decided I wanted to defend, but okay. Sure, we'll go with it.
That's fine. Well, you can talk in general and then segue into the song.
Okay, well, I have gotten in, I got into several years ago the sort of dance and techno music scene. And
boots and pants and boots and pants and boots and pants. And
I
boots
heard pants. Boots cats. Boots cats also works.
Well, the Geico commercial with Maxwell the pig.
Okay, well, that
he's sunning himself by a pool and he starts going boots and pants and boots and pants.
And then, of course, Pikachu, 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 Pikachu.
Okay.
Craig, you have any?
We'll just make it an episode of beatboxing.
Well, it's the thing you need like three people to do, and it's like one person goes, and the other one's, what up, what up, what up, what up? And then someone else has to just chime in with random phrases. The system is down.
There you go.
And you just layer that all on top.
All your base are belong to us.
Yeah. If you really wanted to, you could take the three things that I just did and mash them together and put that at the end of the episode.
Okay.
Challenge accepted?
We'll see.
All right.
Time depending.
So basically, I mean, as far as in general, my thing is that there's really two factors here. One of them is I don't necessarily always want the deep, meaningful stuff in my music. I mean, I do sometimes. I enjoy a good singer-songwriter with you know, a lot of experience in making you, you know, evoking emotions through the music. Because as a singer-songwriter myself, that's kind of how I do. But at the same time, sometimes I just want to have a little fun with it, you know?
Sure.
And
just want a beat you can dance to.
Well, yeah.
Something you can.
You don't want to see me dancing.
Well, dance to or nod your head to or just groove to or whatever.
Or what's more typical is I have a Pandora station that I've trained to be pretty good with that. that I would listen to while coding at work. You know, as a web developer, I'd sit there with my headphones on, and people walking by my cubicle would be able to have fun watching me. You know, sort of chair dancing at my computer. So, what?
Sexy.
As a slight side note to that, what's funny is that as a said I had mostly my Pandora. Why is it every time I come on the show? That song?
It's not just every time you come on the show, it's nearly every episode.
Okay. Craig, you said sexy.
My mistake.
Yeah.
I said I mostly have it trained, but for some reason it occasionally throws in such 90s gems as Can't Touch This, Vanilla Ice, Everybody Dance Now, which I guess kind of still works. But I mean, it's just, all of a sudden out of nowhere, here's this 90s hip hop song. I'm like, okay, why did you think this goes along with like 2000s techno? You know, I don't know. But actually that turns into, I guess, a nice little segue because I really wanted to touch more on this. There is a particular song that came out just a couple weeks ago, was released, that has polarized the internet extremely far. And
for those people who pay attention to this thing.
True, which I guess is not you.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, well, for those who actually
And I even have
care,
arguments that I know of from people.
I do, too. I have three I'm going to defend against. So.
Okay.
Please enlighten those of us who have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Exactly. The song in question is from the... It's from the French-Canadian artist Avril Lavigne, and it's called Hello Kitty, which is what Craig is playing right now.
Are we listening to it?
Not the whole thing.
he's just demonstrating. And of course, there's a music video to this, and a lot of the ire came up over the music video because there's only so much you can really say about a song. But the video is highly stylized, like Japanese J-pop style, and she's got like four backup dancers that are all dressed the same. There's been a lot of arguments against it.
I'm just watching the
video.
The color scheme in the video is like
bright.
It's pink. Candy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's candy. You're looking at candy.
Yeah.
It's pinks and pastels and whites and
so there have been
everything looks like frosting.
So right after it came out, the first time I saw it, I didn't really know what to make of it. But I quickly decided that I liked it. But then I started seeing a lot of people having very strong opinions against it. So I got three things that I have distilled things that sort of the anti-Hello Kitty camp into that I'd like to defend against, if I may.
Okay, can I attempt to actually present the point to you? I don't know if I've got all three of them, but I think I have
well,
two.
And in particular, the order would be...
Okay. You can save an option for later if you want, but I'm going to say one of them is that it plays off of stereotypes.
Okay, well, basically my first one's going to be that people say it's racist.
Right.
So basically you got my first point there.
Right.
So my thing is it's not racist, and here's why. Because to me, the people who are pointing this out are, you know, and I don't mean to offend here, of course, but the politically correct hand-wringers are the ones who are calling it racist, the ones that don't want to be accused of racism. But it's written for and in almost every way except for, you know, Avril herself, created by the Japanese. She went to Japan to shoot the video that was produced by the Japanese, and they're the ones who have the power to declare that it's racist. The thing is that she spends like half her time in Japan. She is absolutely huge in Japan. So this is really kind of her playing up to one of her biggest fan bases.
I think that's a Tom Waits song, isn't it?
And there have been some comparisons made by other defenders to videos by, and I'm sure I'm going to massacre this name, so I apologize, but Kiari Pamyu Pamyu, who is apparently another very popular Japanese J-pop artist. And the video has similar bright colors, very surreal imagery. And she also has a lot of backup dancers who are even more faceless than the ones that we're looking at right now, because a lot of them have like literal coverings over their faces, not to mention the sort of nonsensical lyrics if you read the translation. So basically, this is something that the Japanese seem to get behind. So it's not really racist. They like it.
Oh, but there's people in the United States who have nothing better to do than to point out when you're wrong and mean and evil and bad, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And they're always right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm halfway through this thing, and what's racist? I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
By the way,
well, see, Mike, no, see, look at it, it's racist.
I don't see.
Just
I don't
look
see.
At it.
Yeah,
look at it. It's racist. Look, clear racism right there. It's a pile of racism.
Look at all I don't racism. See anything.
That's a steaming pile of racism right there.
That points out how one race is genetically inferior to any other race.
Oh, look, she's drinking sake and eating sushi. That's racist.
I believe the word you're looking for is bigoted, and I don't even see that.
It's racist. Oh, and she's acting like everything's, you know, she's happy and cute, and there's like this,
she's waving to her Japanese fans. Look
this
at that.
Highly stylized sense of cuteness that is very much an aesthetic in
her backup
Japan.
Dancers exactly. Have a style.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so that's first.
Well, no, it's racist, though.
That's first. That's point number one right there. Second point racist. That people make, and this right here is what, this one is where it actually touches the song, too, but some people say, I couldn't make it through 5 seconds of it. It's bad. Well, okay. It's
well,
not
quick point of information. If you didn't listen to the whole song, you don't get to say a
exactly.
Fucking thing.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Beep. okay. But anyway, it's not objectively bad. Like, for example, I dislike country music. That's just my thing. But I don't say country music is objectively bad. I just don't like it. I like to point out, since I was aware of Avril Lavigne when she made her debut back in like the late 90s, her early music came under very similar fire, especially since that was kind of at the height of those pop princesses. And her image has always kind of been a more sort of punked-up version of whatever she was surrounded by. She was kind of more the punk girl instead of the sexy girl or cute girl or bad girl or whatever.
Right, and then so in this video, she's the pink punk.
Yeah.
She's the cute Japanese aesthetic pink punk.
Right.
Racist.
And and
the word has absolutely no meaning anymore.
Yeah. And the song...
That'd be nice if we could make that word have...
Yeah. The song itself is
as
like
far
a
as I'm
mix...
concerned, it doesn't the way people misuse it. Mm-hmm.
The song itself also, in not just the video, but the audio, it's a mix of like J-pop and punk. And that is, for Western music, somewhat unique. You don't see a lot of that. And it follows the same pattern as the rest of her career, of taking something that is popular and then adding her spin to it. I mean, in a way, whether you like it or not, that's actually objectively pretty good. It's okay if you don't like it, but don't call it bad objectively. So that's my defense to that point.
Okay, so she changed her sound based on influences, both musical and cultural.
Yeah.
And like you said, she's playing this. This song is not for you or me or the conservative right or anybody else who's screaming. This song is for her Japanese fans.
And they love it. And my final point, because
job well done.
And then my final point.
Can I guess?
Well, this was. I mean, you can try to guess.
The third point? You're on your third point?
Yeah.
I'm just going to make a guess because this is another one I heard too. It was done 10 years ago by Gwen Stefani.
Okay, well, I have heard that one, but since I'm not as well acquainted with that one, I can't really defend against that one. So.
She did a song called Harajuku Girls, and she built a whole tour that had four Japanese girls in cutesy outfits that followed her around and were stereotypes, kind of, sort of. She caught a lot of the same flack. Mm-hmm. Of course, now Avril Lavigne is catching more of it because our world is even more politically correct and less forgiving than what Gwen Stefani caught.
But isn't Avril Lavigne Canadian?
Yes, she's Canadian.
Constantly apologizing for everything all the time anyway. Like, why would you even... Like, she's already retroactively apologized for whatever it is that anyone
just
thinks she might have done.
Canadian.
Just by being Canadian.
Okay, well, then that's a good argument. Everybody should just
I'm sorry,
shut up.
Not stereotypical at all, Mike.
Ando's racist.
I grant that that was another one that I've heard, but like I said, I couldn't do a personal defense against that one because I was not aware of the Gwen Stefani one.
I just know of it. Yeah. I remember that.
The one that I got is this is where the internet becomes the internet even more internet-y by devolving into personal attacks. They're like, well, she's just immature. Okay. So
isn't she like 35 now?
Yeah, she's in her 30s. Well, I'm almost 32, and I still enjoy acting like I did in college when I was in my 20s. And aside from getting tired out a little quicker than I did, it still works for me. I still have a lot of fun. And guess what? I still have a day job. I have a successful career. So, you know. Avril has had several serious songs. I mean, I only actually own her first CD, which is out in the late 90s. It's called Let Go. And there are serious songs on it. They got kind of overlooked because of songs like Complicated and Skater Boy. But there are serious songs there. And from what I have read up on her, after her divorce from Derek Whibley of Sum 41, the CD she released right after that got very serious because she was dealing with the emotions of going through a divorce. And on a whole, that album was serious. And it also got very mixed reviews. You had people who really liked that, and you had people who really didn't. So it's still just par for the course. And so, if you look at all of her videos, not just Hello Kitty, but all of them going back to Complicated, she obviously, very, very obviously, just really enjoys having fun and doing what she loves. So, why is that such a big deal?
Racist.
So, I have a summary.
Sorry, it's the only argument I have.
I've watched the video just now, and I don't get it. So,
before I summarize, would you like to respond to that point too, Craig?
No, I'm done.
So, in summary,
I've used up all of my. I can't say it anymore.
Good.
Bigoted.
Okay.
Thing. Okay.
I've used up the R word. We're all out.
So in summary, not
get that. Did you hear that, America? Or at least people who like to just throw the word around too quickly, too easily.
It's
all out.
Universal quota has been reached.
The big barrel is empty.
It's not even. Don't even try to say it. It's not possible to say it anymore.
Okay. So to summarize,
in summary, not every song can be Stairway to Heaven, but sales and charts prove that even the most inane of songs can be a huge hit. Because people listen to music to enjoy themselves. So there's definitely a time and place for a good serious song or a sad song or emotional or whatever. And Avril Lavigne has done both of those too. So people basically just need to freaking relax and express their opinions as opinions and stop being so hard on someone else for having fun. Also, Japan.
So take that.
Ando has spoken.
Can we go here really quick?
Go where?
Here.
Yes.
This is an Avril Lavigne song.
Uh-huh.
Pizza party at your house. I went just to check it out. 19 extra larges. What a shame. No one came. Just us.
Yes.
Eating all alone. You said... Take the pizza home. No sense letting all this go to waste.
You tell he had to bring it down a few keys.
Pizza all day and every day. This cheese round the clock is getting me blocked. And I sure don't care.
Mike, you really haven't heard this before?
Tell me why'd you have to go and make me so constipated? Cause right now I do anything to just get my bowels evacuated.
No, it's I have, but it's been a while.
And I wait and I strain and I sweat and I clench
think the second verse is best. I know. I'm just saying. I think the second verse is best.
Because no episode of Nerd Burger is complete without poop jokes.
That's right.
You're
and
welcome, Mike.
And Weird Al, of course, from yes. his album Poodle Hat. I would throw that out there. Yes.
Good stuff.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sad.
We're all
Why?
Done.
Because we're wrapping up.
We'll come back again.
I've already scheduled my next appearance. Okay.
He scheduled within an hour of me sending out scheduling emails.
It would have been within 5 minutes like last time, but I didn't see it because we were at a... and here's a little pump
excuses,
for where Katie May and
excuses.
I have been. We have a fan... AndoCon has a fan table at Atlanticon, which is over there. So where is that? Technically?
Which will be over.
Well, yeah, it'll be over by
the time this episode
is,
airs.
So if you didn't go, you suck. You missed it.
Yeah. But it's been fun last night. We played Two Rooms and a Boom, which is a great party game. If anyone who I'll say this, if you haven't played Two Rooms and a Boom yet, get a big group of people together. It's good. It's one of those good games for, you know, it takes at least 12 people to do it right, and more is even better. The general idea is you got two teams, and there's a bomber on one team and a president on the other, and then groups are separated physically into two separate rooms, and then there are several rounds of sending people back and forth. And at the end of the game, if the bomber is in the same room as the president, then that team wins, and if they're in separate rooms, then the president's team wins.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. Go play it, people.
So all you need is people. And
well, rooms. and the game itself, like the cards, the roles, but you can, yeah, you know, that was on Kickstarter. I don't think it's actually been released yet, has it? I don't think so.
We backed it on Kickstarter. It hasn't been delivered yet, but I'm pretty sure it's a free print to play online.
Yeah.
Woo.
Two rooms
I'm pretty,
and a boom.
I'm pretty sure that there's going to be at least a game or two of it at AndoCon. So
cool.
That's wild and wacky.
It is.
Maybe we can have the rumor recording and be one of those rooms. That would be fun.
Nobody would be.
Who are you? Are you a bomber or a president?
Not allowed to say. We're not going to put that in. The NSA listens to this stuff. What are you talking about? I'm a little
Here
uncomfortable
we are.
Even talking about the game.
Here we are at AndoCon. We've got the president and a bomber.
No! Thank you for joining us for the last episode of Nerd Burger.
No.
It's a bunch of black trucks pulled up outside just now.
All right. Ando, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank
As
you
always,
very much.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed myself a lot.
Thank you, Katie May. She's waving.
Thumbs up. Where can they find us, Mike?
They may find us at nerdburgershow.com. Yeah.
Maybe.
You'd think it had been a while since I'd done this. More than a week. Nerdburgershow.com, at nerdburgershow on the Twitters and the Facebook, and email us nerdburgershow@gmail.com.
On the next episode of Nerd Burger, Mike and Craig prove that Ando doesn't exist. I mean, seriously, listeners, have any of you actually seen Ando?
I've
That's
seen
That's a
me.
Good point.
They haven't.
There's just an empty rectangle.
Pixar didn't
with
happen.
With his name in it.
The system is down. The system is down. The system is down. The system is down.